Green Man. I am alarmed when it happens that I have walked a mile into the woods bodily without getting there in spirit. In my afternoon walk, I would fain forget all my morning's occupations and my obligations to society. But it sometimes happens that I cannot easily shake off the village. The thought of some work will run in my head, and I am not where my body is. I am out of my senses. In my walks, I would fain return to my senses. What business have I in the woods if I am thinking of something out of the woods? Henry David Thoreau. My childhood bedroom overlooked a village green, and I have been fond of those open spaces ever since. My brother and I used to hang out there with our friends. It was our amphitheatre, the scene of day-long rugby matches, and a cricket pitch with the twin hazards of horrific bounce after cows had been herded across the wicket, and the risk of a lost ball if an exuberant shot sent it flying into the garden of the grumpy man who lived in the cottage in the centre of the green. Given that it was early May, it was apt that the pub on today's charming village green was called the Green Man. Appearing in various guises over time, usually a green head sprouting leaves and foliage, the Green Man used to be a central figure in May Day celebrations. His origins are murky, but he has been carved in churches and buildings for 1,000 years as a symbol of spring's rebirth. The Romans had similar figures, as seen, for example, in Nero's Golden House Palace. Bacchus, god of wine, nature and harvest, was often portrayed as a leaf-crowned lord, so he might be the ancestor of our Green Man. The Gallic festival of Beltane was a forerunner of today's numerous worldwide celebrations of May Day. It was a community celebration of summer's return. The origin of the word Beltane is bright fire, and, as always, bonfires played an important role in the rituals. Revellers danced around purifying flames to welcome the lighter half of the year after the long winter. When farmers led their animals out to spring pastures, they made sure to drive them between two fires to bring good luck. I was cheered not only by the bucolic village green, but by the fact that the pub would be open in a couple of hours. So I cycled out of the village past an old red phone box that had been converted into a community library and larder. Bring what you can, take what you need, and on past the village hall polling station for today's local elections. I turned down a rutted farm track wedged between hedges that gleamed like emeralds. They were unusually thick and well maintained, and therefore brilliant for wildlife. We have 500,000 miles of hedgerows, only a fraction of what there was a century ago, but still an important ecological building block. The sides of the lane were flush with bluebells, a clue that there had once been forest here. Some woodland species linger like lonely ghosts, even once the trees have been felled, their roots grubbed out, and the forest turned over to cattle. I blooming adore May. Everything was blooming and beginning again. A snippet of Larkin popped into my head. The trees are coming into leaf, like something almost being said. Last year is dead, they seem to say. Begin afresh, afresh, afresh. Little of what I learned at school lingered long in my brain, but I once had an English teacher who made us memorize quotations and snippets of poetry, and I'm often grateful for it. I shoved my way down an overgrown byway and emerged on a footpath that was spectacularly carpeted with bluebells in every direction. A beautiful place to pause and brew coffee. The path was pocked with hoof prints, and I wondered why horses wear shoes but other farm animals do not. Apparently, wild horses amble long distances over rough grassland, which toughens their hooves, similar to us going barefoot for the summer. But domestic horses don't exercise as much, and when they do, it tends to be on softer ground, so they need horseshoes to stop their hooves wearing down or splitting. I pootled across a farm, down grassy footpaths, unlikely to accidentally veer off course with the abundance of passive-aggressive, "Please keep to the path" signs plastered everywhere, reinforced by bonus "No through route" signs. I was permitted to tread only the most slender of threads. But this was a morning for expansive enjoyment, so I chose not to feel unwelcome. The air was warm but fresh after last night's heavy rain. It had been tipping down all week, culminating at last in one of those clear-the-air rainstorms when the sky darkens, bursts, rinses, and then the sun comes out to polish the new world. Hornbeam trees, the hardest wood in Europe, used by the Romans for building chariots, sported their new leaves above banks of greater stitchwort. As with most hedgerow plants, most of us wouldn't look twice at the pretty, star-shaped white flower or know its name, me included, until my Seek app taught me. And yet, over the centuries, the small flower has accumulated a host of local nicknames, including wedding cakes, Star of Bethlehem, milkmaids, little Dicky shirt fronts and Daddy's shirt buttons, as well as snapdragon because of its brittle stems, and poppers or nanny crackers for the seed pods that explode on summer's days when they're ripe. I wish I could travel back in time to when everyone knew the names, uses and stories of the plants in their community. I nosied around the grid square for a couple more hours before succumbing to the magnetic lure of the pub. I was exactly halfway through my year now, 26 weeks and 26 grid squares. As I sipped a pint of bitter on the village green, I reflected on building the habit of getting out into nature to see what had changed every week. Documenting my experiences had helped immerse me in the turning of the seasons more than ever before. Once you take an interest in nature's calendar, there is always something to spark your curiosity when you go for a walk. The Japanese calendar was traditionally divided into 24 periods, starting with Rishun, the beginning of spring, and finishing with Daikan, the greater cold. The year was also subdivided into 72 micro-seasons, each lasting for roughly 5 days and marking the near-continuous changes of nature. They have melodic names such as Ku Kenkan Su, or Bush Warblers Begin Singing in the Mountains. Others that I like include Mist Starts to Linger, Frogs Start Singing, Dew Glistens White on Grass, and Bears Start Hibernating in Their Dens. Toyed with creating my own version of that calendar according to what happens where I live over the span of a year. I could begin with today's delightful micro-season. Beer in the sunshine. Summer on the horizon.